Who's keeping your digital data safe? Are the giant tech companies doing it? Some government agency? Or could it be an oddball collection of self-taught volunteer coders working from their bedrooms at kitchen tables? That last scenario is closer to the truth than you might think, and it's the subject of the new book, The Ransomware Hunting Team, A Band of Misfits' Improbable Crusade to Save the World from Cybercrime, by Renee Dudley and Daniel Golden. Renee and Daniel are both reporters at ProPublica, and they've joined forces to tell a story that sounds like it comes right out of a Hollywood thriller, but in fact is very real. Here they are to share some of the big ideas from their book.
I'm Renee Dudley, and I'm a technology reporter at ProPublica.
I'm Dan Golden, and I'm a senior editor and reporter at ProPublica.
And we're the authors of The Ransomware Hunting Team, A Band of Misfits' Improbable Crusade to Save the World from Cybercrime. Scattered across the world, an elite team of code crackers is working tirelessly to thwart the defining cyber scourge of our time. You've probably never heard of them, but if you work for a school, a business, a hospital, or a municipal government, or simply cherish your digital data, you may be painfully familiar with the team's sworn enemy, ransomware. Again and again, an unlikely band of misfits have outwitted the underworld of hackers who lock computer networks and demand huge payments in return for the keys.
Our book, The Ransomware Hunting Team, traces the adventures of these unassuming heroes and how they have used their skills to save millions of ransomware victims from paying billions of dollars to criminals. Working tirelessly from bedrooms and back offices and refusing payment, they've rescued those whom the often hapless FBI has been unwilling or unable to help. This book follows them as they put their health, personal relationships, and financial security on the line to navigate the technological and moral challenges of combating digital hostage taking. Here are five insights we'd like to share.
Number one, ordinary people can do extraordinary things. The heroes of our book are the dozen or so geeky volunteers in seven countries who make up the ransomware hunting team. They have regular day jobs, but their passion and their obsession is fighting ransomware. Their technical virtuosity is largely self-taught. Some of them never went to college. Some come from backgrounds of poverty or abuse and still suffer from depression and struggle to pay their bills. Yet this obscure band of tech nerds is often the only recourse for victims who can't afford or refuse out of principle to pay ransoms to cyber criminals. The team has cracked more than 300 major ransomware strains and variants, saving an estimated 4 million victims from paying billions of dollars in ransom, almost always without charging a penny. The foremost codebreaker on the team is Michael Gillespie, a cancer survivor and cat lover who got his start cracking ransomware while working at a Nerds on Call IT shop in the town of Normal, Illinois. He and his wife were so poor that their car was repossessed and they almost lost their home. Nevertheless, he decrypted ransomware around the clock and developed free tools victims could use to recover without paying hackers. Other teammates include the brilliant, reclusive Fabian Wosar, a high school dropout from Germany who enjoys bantering with the attackers he foils, and his protege, the British computer science prodigy Sarah White. Together, they have established themselves as the most effective force against an escalating global threat.
Number two, as society moves online, it becomes more vulnerable to ransomware. During the COVID-19 pandemic, most people stayed home and became almost completely reliant on their computers for work, school, and social connection. But by avoiding contagion, they often became victims of another epidemic, ransomware. A wave of cyber extortion crippled hospitals, universities, government agencies, and other vital services, shuttered businesses and schools, and further isolated people from relatives, friends, and co-workers. With the pandemic raging, hospitals' access to online systems and digital records became a matter of life and death. When hospitals were hit by ransomware, cancer patients and others had to be transferred long distances for treatment. In one tragic case, a newborn suffered a brain injury and later died after nurses were unable to detect fetal distress when her mother was in labor. Lawrence Abrams, co-founder of the Hunting Team, pleaded with ransomware gangs to stop attacking hospitals, but few abided by the truce. Only a few years ago, ransomware was a relatively minor irritant. The gangs only attacked individuals, seeking a few hundred dollars apiece. Today, it impacts everything. Ransomware gangs have paralyzed every kind of organization, for-profit or nonprofit, public or private, demanding millions or tens of millions of dollars. Unlike lightning, ransomware often strikes twice in the same place. If one-time victims don't improve their security, they may be attacked multiple times.
Number 3. Law enforcement can't keep up with the hackers. The FBI for years brushed off ransomware as an ankle-biter crime. One former cyber agent told us the Bureau viewed it as a geek squad thing, and therefore they viewed it as not important. After the May 2021 attack on the Colonial Pipeline, which shuttered gas stations across the Southeast, the FBI began to prioritize the ransomware threat. But it was behind the curve. One reason is that it lacks enough agents with advanced computer skills. It has not recruited as many of these people as it needs, and those it has hired often don't stay long. The Bureau has struggled with recruitment and retention partly due to its longstanding expectation that agents should be able to do any job anywhere. While other global law enforcement agencies over the past two decades have snatched up computer scientists, the FBI tried to turn existing agents with no computer background into digital specialists, clinging to the any job mantra. But that approach doesn't work when it comes to investigating the complex world of modern cybercrime. It may be possible to turn an agent whose background is in accounting into a first-rate gang investigator and vice versa. It's a lot harder to turn that same agent into a top-flight computer scientist who can move the needle on cyber investigations. The any job outlook is also problematic for recruitment. People who have spent years becoming computer experts typically want to stay in that role. Knowing they might have to pivot to another assignment, depending on the Bureau's needs, could be a turnoff for prospective applicants. Plus, they might be uncomfortable with the very nature of non-computer assignments. Stereotypes aside, most computer experts don't fit the description of typical cops. There are certainly exceptions, but many may lack the aptitude for or feel uneasy with traditional law enforcement expectations such as being in top physical fitness, handling a deadly force scenario, or even interacting with the public. But current requirements for agents, even those who grapple with online threats, include all of those things. The FBI needs to change its definition of what it means to be a cyber agent, dropping requirements that aren't necessary for the job.
Number 4, beware of the extortion economy. A booming industry has sprung up to assist victims of ransomware. Negotiators, insurers, and incident response firms offer their services to victims who need help digging out from attacks. But even as these businesses assisted victims, they've also contributed to ransomware's rise by keeping hackers in business. While these firms may generally want to help victims, they also have a financial stake in perpetuating ransomware. For insurers, paying the ransom often makes financial sense. Victims who don't pay may have to recover files from backups, which can be arduous, time-consuming, and unpredictable. It can leave insurers on the hook for everything from employee overtime to public relations efforts. Worst of all are so-called data recovery firms. They purport to do, for a hefty fee, what the hunting team actually does for free, find the key to unlock files without paying a ransom. In reality, they get the key by paying the ransom without telling the victims, who in essence are being scammed twice.
Number 5. Code-breaking rescues ransomware victims, but it also makes the hackers better. The hunting team's victories are often fleeting. When it discovers a flaw in a ransomware code, it does its best to keep the news secret from hackers. It follows an unwritten precept as old as espionage: don't let your opponents know what you figured out. But eventually, as payments drop off, cybercriminals are likely to realize that something has gone wrong and fix the flaw. In a sense, the teammates and other codebreakers function as product testers for ransomware gangs. As mistakes are discovered, hackers upgrade their cryptography and make the strains tougher or impossible to decode. Due to these improvements, as well as the increasing technical savvy and specialization of many hackers, ransomware unfortunately has become more secure. Fighting ransomware is incredibly hard. Most of the attackers are out of the FBI's reach in countries with which the U.S. doesn't have extradition treaties. And if their cryptography has no mistakes, even the hunting team can't crack the code. When there's no cure, prevention is even more vital. Steps such as multi-factor authentication and avoiding opening suspicious email attachments and downloading things from untrustworthy sites can reduce the ransomware risk. Make sure to maintain reliable backups of important files in the cloud or on a device that's not connected to the internet. That way, if there's a ransomware attack, files can be seamlessly restored. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Renee and Daniel. That was five big ideas from The Ransomware Hunting Team, A Band of Misfits' Improbable Crusade to Save the World from Cybercrime by Renee Dudley and Daniel Golden. Also, check out our book bite from Our Data Ourselves, A Personal Guide to Digital Privacy by Jacqueline Lipton. I'm Rufus Griscom. Thanks for listening.